The wavy image of a studio lot is shown. Then a gold logo swirls onto the screen in front of a blue cloud-filled sky. Warner Brothers Pictures, 75 years entertaining the world. A Time Warner Entertainment Company. A blue light cuts a steamy, stylized R on a field of black. The steam subsides and a white light shines across the R and below it the word Regency. Black and white photos are shown of a man rubbing his mouth, looking angry, playing poker with some other men, and pointing his finger at one of them. There's an upward moving view of an office building interspersed with quick scenes of the man fighting. The negotiator. More photos of the man are shown in police uniform receiving a medal and smiling, shaking hands. The man in tuxedo with three other men in tuxes and suits. The man playing basketball with some of the same guys. A downward moving view of the office building. An elevated train track. The man getting married. Cutting the cake with his bride. His buddies toasting at the wedding. More wedding photos. The groom and his friends posing for a picture. The man in the photos is talking to someone through a slightly open door.
Yeah, I like animals better than people sometimes. Especially dogs. Dogs are the best. Every time you come through the door, they treat you as if they haven't seen you in a year. And the good thing about dogs, they got different kinds of dogs for different kinds of people. Like pit bull, the dog of dogs. Pit bull can be the right man's best friend, the wrong man's worst enemy. Yeah, you're gonna give me a dog for a pet. Give me a pit bull. Give me...
He looks at a list.
Raul. Right, Omar? Give me Raul.
I hate Raul. Son of a bitch, don't know when to shut up.
Hates Raul. Folly fouled up the list.
Yeah, I can dig it, Omar. I had a dog like that. A poodle. She didn't bark, though. She pissed on the floor. Hated that dog. If I was ever depressed, she'd lay her head in my lap, look up at me with those big old eyes. And even though I thought I hated that dog, I loved her. Like that, ain't it, Omar? That love-hate thing.
No more Golding talk! I can't wait anymore, you hear me? I want my wife! I want her up here!
With a mirror, the man sees a girl inside.
I'll do our daughter.
Omar, listen to me.
No more talking. I want that bitch or I'll do the girl.
Omar, I'm doing the best I can here, man.
I'm not gonna hurt her. I just want her to see me kill myself. I want her to think about that when she's messing around with that other guy.
Omar holds a gun to the girl's cheek. A camera pushed through a vent shows the police what's going on.
Roman's losing him. If this guy goes, he can take that girl with him. We gotta go in there now.
I'll give Danny another minute, not yet. He's pulled out of worse.
Another minute, that girl will be dead.
Unit 1, prepare entry. All units stand by for full bridge.
A SWAT team climbs some stairs. An elevated train goes by outside the apartment where a crowd is gathering. Omar kicks the door shut.
You lost him. Make entry.
Beck thinks you lost him. Frost gave him the go-ahead.
That's not the play. Omar's tight. He can get a shot off if they breach. Look, Nick, I can still talk to him. I just need to.
HBT-1, negotiate a request time.
Negative. Team's in position.
Danny shakes his head.
Going in.
No, hey, no, no. Don't. Damn it, don't pull this stuff. You give him another hostage.
You know another way to get the gun off a girl's head?
Negotiator entering kill zone.
You gotta keep him out of here. Our men will lose objectivity if he's in there.
Hey, this is Frost. Stand down.
Omar was a Marine, right?
Yeah.
We have a shot?
Bedroom, but he's nowhere near that.
He will be. Get Eagle and Palermo over to that window. Tell them to wait for my signal. Hellman, Allen, Argento.
Position.
When I'm clear, come in there. Get that girl.
Yo, Omar!
Omar looks up.
Just got word. Your wife's here.
The girl looks up at the gun.
Wife, shut the hell up.
Now, I've been authorized to make the trade. But I gotta come in, look around, make sure there's no other hostages and there's no surprises, all right?
I wanna see her first.
Omar, gotta come look. Then I can bring in your wife, get the girl, all right?
What if you're lying?
Then shoot me!
Okay, fair enough. Nice and slow. You look around, then I get my wife. Or you're gonna die!
Across the street, a sniper aims his gun between two grocery store signs.
Ready.
Omar opens the door and sees Danny with his hands up.
Real slow. This ain't about me or you, but I'm gonna take you out just a second.
He's in. We gotta play it out now.
Unit 1, hold position.
The SWAT team pauses. Danny glares at the dog and looks down a hallway. Outside Omar's apartment door, Danny's partner, Nate, pulls out a gun.
Lock it.
Danny locks the door.
Nice breeze. Great day to be out, you know. Not cold, cool, kind of brisk. Too bad we got stuck in here.
You've seen everything. There's no surprise. Now let's do this.
Hey, I gotta look in those rooms down there, Omar. You know, make sure there's nobody there.
All right, move.
The police see Omar walking behind Danny with a gun. Someone is picking the lock.
Football, huh?
Danny looks at a TV.
Perfect day for it. You know, I ain't missed a Bears home game since I left the court. Of course, the court was a winning team, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah? You were in?
Yeah. Did a tour in 73.
Well, Semper Fi. I did two tours. 68 and 69.
Oh, hoorah, Omar. Hoorah!
Don't meet many Marines these days. Everybody joins the Navy.
Have a visual on the suspect.
See? Nothing here, Lieutenant, so now we make the trade.
Huh? Stay cool.
We got a one count.
Palermo saw Danny hold up one finger.
Like I told you, gotta check out everything.
Hellman and Nate rescue the girl.
Omar, a Marine and a sailor are in the bathroom taking a piss. The Marine goes to leave without washing up. The sailor says, in the Navy, they teach us to wash our hands.
He holds up two fingers.
The Marine turns to him and says, in Marine, they teach us not to piss on our hands.
Three fingers. The grocery store window breaks, and Omar is shot. Danny and the SWAT team aim their guns at him.
Stop! Get out!
HT's down.
Copy.
Nate puts his arm around Danny and takes the gun.
You all right, bud? Huh? You okay?
Yeah. Thanks.
Sure.
That night, someone wheels in a cake shaped like a policeman's hat. It has candles around the top and the words, Happy 60th Birthday, Chief Travis.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Danny and the other police officers are line dancing. An African-American woman and a blonde-haired woman watch and laugh. Nate walks around the edge of the dance floor with a serious look on his face. Danny grabs Nate.
Yeah, boy, come on, get down, get loose, come on. Do it.
You are a hold down, Danny.
Now I've seen everything.
Nate and Danny hug.
Okay, which one is the most pathetic out there?
How you feel, man?
Not great. I don't want to talk to you for a minute, all right?
All right, cool.
Yay! Cut the music! Take a wild guess. Who's on the news? Again.
After 6 hours, hostage negotiator Danny Roman risked his own life disarming the hostage taker. Lieutenant Roman, it looks like you saved the day again.
No, it was a team effort. I just talked the guy out.
Well, did he say anything in there?
A little public information.
I just want to tell you how close I came to busting your ass today,
but because it'll never happen again, right? It's okay, I'll let it go.
All right, I'll talk.
Danny, off the record, that was one hell of a gutsy job, man. Again, congratulations.
Thanks, Chief. Congratulations to you.
Thanks.
Great party.
Hey, Danny, you really in the Marines or is that a bluff?
No, I was in the Army and I really hate dogs.
An officer grabs Danny's arm.
Despite how things worked out today, we put these guys in jeopardy. If you'd been taken hostage, you would have fouled up everything.
Everybody lived, Beck. Even you. Mm.
Danny dances away. Chief Travis chews on a toothpick and Beck smiles. The African-American woman dances with Danny.
20,000 cops in Chicago. Can't you take turns?
Oh, I was gonna let Nate go in, but I knew Linda would be pissed at me.
Nate's much smarter than that, right, Nate?
Yeah, I'm too smart. I'm too smart for my own good sometimes.
Danny and his dance partner look at Nate.
You got a minute? I gotta talk to you. It's something important, okay? Just be a minute, I promise. Just a minute.
Nate walks away.
Go on, tell your secrets.
Danny kisses her, grabs his coat, and follows Nate. They get in a car.
I was approached by someone recently. He knows who took money from the disability fund.
What?
Almost $2 million is missing now, Danny.
Yeah, I know.
According to him, we know the guys who took it. Cops. Guys in our own precinct, guys that we might call our friends. We're stealing our own money. I mean, I would have told you sooner, but this is the first chance I got.
Who told you this?
I can't say. But this guy knows what he's talking about. He's been on the job since 74. He's been around working cases like this. He knows his stuff.
So why didn't he go to Internal Affairs?
Because he thinks Internal Affairs is involved. He heard Nipom's name mentioned. He doesn't know what to do about it. They offered to buy him out.
And?
And he said he'd think about it. Oh. We're at the academy. We worked Area 6 together, so he trusts me. But this guy, Dan, this guy is really scared.
When did you find out about all this?
Most of it last night. But I've been working out for a couple of weeks now, you know. I figured that with you on the board, you might have heard something.
No. Not in here, thing. Well, they did do an audit, you know, but it didn't prove anything.
Yeah.
If somebody's stealing our money, we gotta find out who. And you just tell this informant, he should... Oh, what the...
Oh, jeez. Officer Bald.
What are you girls doing, playing with each other?
I was about to get a proposal till you showed up.
I mean, I know y'all partners and stuff, but,
Everyone's looking for you.
Yo, please, don't shine the light in here, officer. You know, can't a guy just hold his partner's hand?
All right, well, I'll let you girls be. Wipe that stuff off your mouth, buddy.
Yeah, order me a drink, big guy.
Jeez. We'll finish this later.
Yeah, all right.
Danny gets out.
Don't tell Linda.
Nate gets out. Later...
I don't like the thought of fixing up this house alone, Danny.
and with what you're doing.
Darling. That's the job.
It's not the job. The job I can deal with is how you do the job, like what you did today.
I'm fine.
This time. You know, what I love about you is that you do these crazy things. It's just that I wish you'd start differentiating between crazy and just plain stupid. I know this whole marriage thing is new to you, but coming home every night is a big part of it. Every night.
Okay. I promise. I will come home every night.
They clasp hands.
No matter what I have to do. Every night.
What are you trying to negotiate? You forget that I know that you lie for a living.
Not right now. Listen, listen. Danny Roman is a married man now. No more crazy stunt, all right? See that? That's the bus. The bus is going down the street. Crazy is on the bus.
He kisses her neck, then her mouth.
It's vibrating, baby.
He looks at his pager.
Nate is vibrating.
It says, meet at 11:30 Franklin Park.
Go. Tell Nate I said hello. And that I'm expecting him to keep you out of trouble from now on.
He kisses her hand. It's dark outside. Nate is sitting in his car. He gets his pager off the dash. It says, meet 11:30 Franklin Park, Danny. He puts it back and lights a cigarette. Someone approaches.
Mm. Hey, how you doing? Caught me. Look, Danny beat me earlier. What's going on?
The man shoots Nate, then reaches in with a gloved hand and takes his pager. He throws it into a nearby lake. Then he throws something else in and runs away. Danny arrives. He sees Nate's head resting against a bloody, cracked window. Nate's passenger door is open and Danny leans in. He looks around, then hangs his head. A car drives up. Policemen get out and aim their guns at Danny.
Please!
Danny turns around.
Get your hands up!
He puts them up.
Police officer, officer down!
Later,
he said he talked to his informant last night. Some guy he was at academy with and knew from Area 6. This guy said he knew what was going down with the pension fund. The informant didn't come to you guys because he thought someone from internal affairs was involved.
A man in an overcoat looks at him.
One of us. Exactly who was this informant, Lieutenant?
Hey, he didn't tell me his name. Look, it's obvious somebody found out Nate was investigating the fund off this informant's tip, and they took him out.
All right, let's just go back to the very beginning, do this whole thing again.
Hey, I just found my partner with his head blown off, all right? I don't feel like doing this.
Well, you're gonna have to.
Back off!
Just back off, me, pal. We'll do this some other time, okay?
Police officers on motorcycles lead a hearse, followed by a limousine and squad cars, into a cemetery. A police horse is led past a gravesite. Officers in dress uniforms form an archway with their nightsticks for Danny and the other pallbearers to carry a casket through. The chief and other officers stand at attention. Danny's wife whispers to Nate's wife, Linda. Danny marches along sullenly. The casket is draped with a white flag that has four big red stars on the top. The part of the flag that hangs down on the sides is blue. The pallbearers set the casket on a bier and salute. Linda cries. A young boy is sitting beside her. An officer folds the flag into a triangle as Danny's eyes fill with tears and his lips tremble. The chief presents the flag to Linda. Gun salute cracks Danny's composure and tears run down his cheeks. He closes his eyes and bites his lips. Danny and his wife are in bed.
Is that the door?
You got it.
He gets out of bed and walks to the door in his boxers, rubbing his arms to warm himself.
Hey, Danny, listen, they found the gun that killed Nathan. It's in the lake. No fingerprints.
Hang on, please.
I have a search warrant here.
Hold it, Inspector. Danny, the serial number on the gun. It was one of three guns stolen from a dealer. Two of the guns were recovered by you around 7 months ago, remember?
Yeah.
The third gun was not found until now.
You can't be kidding me. You serious?
Danny, there's nothing we can do. We came as soon as we heard they were issuing the
search warrant. All right, gentlemen, come on.
Okay, guys, go easy. It's one of ours.
In here.
Detectives wearing white rubber gloves feel along a bookcase and go through papers. They take a basket off of a shelf.
I'm sorry about this, Karen. We all know it's nonsense.
And just let them do their work. They can get the hell out of here.
He's standing over the body of a dead cop who's investigating the fund. He had access to the gun, and he's on the fund's board. He had motive and opportunity.
Who are you trying to fool, Kneebaum?
It was your name Nate mentioned when he said internal affairs was involved.
Well, now it's my name, huh? We've got a little investigation going here, too, and your name keeps coming up. Wonder why? Maybe it's because Nathan found you stealing money from the fund.
Danny and Karen glare at Kneebaum. A detective looks through a file.
Inspector! Think I got something in here.
Karen looks at Danny, and they follow Kneebaum to another room.
Looks like offshore accounts.
Kneebaum, Chief Travis, and Danny look at the file.
What the? Those things aren't mine. You planted this stuff.
Put it away.
Why are you doing this to me, huh? Chief, you don't...
The chief looks at Danny. Danny looks at Kneebaum, then back at the chief. Later, Beck helps Danny get through a crowd of reporters.
Make a hole.
Inside police headquarters, Danny turns to Beck.
Beck. Thanks.
How can you show your face here?
Danny lowers his eyebrows.
I knew someday you get somebody killed.
Nobody really knows what happened, okay? Hey, come on, seriously.
What's going on, Danny? We heard a lot.
What?
The chief enters.
Hey, Danny. Come on inside. All right, everybody, get back to work.
Danny follows the chief into his office.
Sit down, Danny. Danny, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what to think. But I don't have any choice until this internal affairs investigation is complete. So your gun and your badge,
Chief. You know me. I'm being set up. Look, Nate told me his informant knows who's involved. He helped me find this informant, and all this goes away.
Danny looks at the other officers who are watching him through the blinds. He stands and puts his badge on the chief's desk. He unloads his gun and sets it down. Then he places a single bullet upright next to a small silver statue of a policeman. The chief looks up and watches Danny leave. He picks up Danny's badge. The badge reads Lieutenant Metropolitan Police 6381. Later, outside a tall building, reporters shout questions at Danny and his wife. The reporters shove microphones into Danny and his wife's face. A balding man pushes them inside the building where they see Linda with a man.
Linda. Linda. No, here.
Mrs. Rennick, we should go.
Linda, I didn't do what they say I did.
We should go. Mrs. Rennick, we should go.
You, Danny. Nepa. All of you. You all killed him. Don't you stand here. Don't you stand here in my face. Don't you say one more word to me. You took him away from me. God help you, Danny. You took him away from Jeremy. Now you stand here. You stand here and you just live with that.
Mrs. Rennick, please. Please, let's go.
Danny and Karen look bewildered. The balding man looks at them.
Danny, we need to go.
The papers found in your house. You come up with an explanation, Danny, as to why you had that kind of money in offshore accounts?
You have no proof the money had anything to do with the fund or that Mr. Roman even opened those accounts.
The money in them was well laundered, but the last deposit into those accounts matched the last amount stolen from the fund.
I don't have any offshore accounts.
The statements were in your home. You were standing over the body.
Are you charging my client because all of this is very circumstantial?
We have a gun linked to you. And a pair of gloves that we took from the water. Which explains why your client had no powder in his hands.
Danny shakes his head.
You know how this city feels about corrupt cops? I'll get a conviction with my eyes closed. Just tell us where the rest of the money went, as well as who your partners were, and maybe...
I need to speak to my client.
Danny looks at the balding man.
I'll give you one day to make a deal. You hear me? One day. After that, there'll be no deal to negotiate. We will arrest you, and you will face the maximum penalty. I'll see to it.
Danny glares at the DA.
Fear tomorrow and have a decision made.
Danny's attorney stands up. But Danny continues to glare at the DA, and he stares back.
Danny.
Karen takes his hand, and they leave with the attorney. The DA nods to two men in an adjoining room who follow them.
Danny. Danny!
What?
He turns to face his attorney.
Understand that they have a case that a jury will convict on. I can't do any more for you. Cut a deal.
The attorney walks away. Danny looks down and Karen gives him a concerned look. He looks up and notices the two men watching him.
Karen. Go and wait for me in the car. Don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine.
Danny, please don't do anything
crazy. Crazy's on the bus, remember?
He kisses her, and she holds him close. He kisses her on the cheek. She looks up at him with her big brown eyes.
I love you too.
Be right back.
He leaves her in the lobby, and the men follow him. Karen walks away. A seal on the floor where they were standing reads, City of Chicago, Incorporated, March 4th, 1837. Danny is in an elevator with signs flashing Floor 18, Bureau of Community Relations, and Floor 19, Bureau of Legal Affairs. He gets off on Floor 20, Internal Affairs Division.
Danny Roman.
Want to see Nebo?
Yes, sir. Could you wait just a minute? I have to buzz him, sir. Mr. Roman, wait, sir.
Danny keeps walking and enters Inspector Niebaum's office.
We'll make it clear again.
Two men and a woman are with Niebaum.
No. Hold on. Roman, what can I do for you?
Man's got a right to face his accusers, doesn't he, Inspector? We need to talk.
Well, go ahead, talk.
I want to know what's going on.
You killed your partner. And unless something has changed, you're about to be formally indicted for
You're
that.
Not answering my question. Now, Nate told me you were involved. I want to know how. Well, just look me in the eye and tell me you weren't involved. Look me in the eye, Inspector!
Look you in the eye for what? Look it. Why don't you just tell it to the judge, all right? We're finished. Get him out of here.
You're not doing this! Go!
One of the men grabs Danny and slams him up against a file cabinet.
Roman!
Danny pushes the man away. The man pulls out a gun and Danny reaches for it.
No!
The other man looks around. No! Danny points the gun at its owner.
Lock the door. Lock it!
Look, Roman, don't make things worse than they already are. Just put the gun down
you.
Now.
Sit your ass down. Sit! This is my life here, Niebaum. I want some answers.
I don't have any answers for you, Roman. Put the gun down and leave.
Oh, you don't feel like talking? Well, we're gonna stay here until you do. It's your choice. Because I'm not going to jail today.
Later, they leave Niebaum's office.
Move!
Men in the outer office have guns.
Go! Go!
All right.
Danny has a gun to Niebaum's head.
Drop your weapon, Danny.
Lower your weapon.
Lower your weapon.
Down.
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 Down. Down.
Your weapon, Roman. Drop the weapon. Drop it.
Easy, Roman.
Danny shoots at a man on an upper level.
That wasn't an accident, and neither will the next one that goes into your head. Now get down here now. Come on. All right, everybody in here, march over to that desk over there. Put your guns, cuffs, keys, everything on this desk, and get out of here. Let's go. Move. Move it.
Frost enters.
Danny.
What are you doing here?
The call is out on a citywide, Danny.
You see what they're making me do?
Danny, what the heck are you doing? You just got married, man. Think about Karen.
I am thinking about Karen. And now that I think about it, I'm glad you're here. You just raised the ante.
He points the gun at Frost.
Join the party.
God, Danny, this is crazy.
Take your guns off. Put them on this table now.
Frost puts a gun on the table.
I know you heard me say both of them.
Frost takes a small gun out of an ankle holster and lays it on the table. Danny motions with his gun. Police cars and vans speed toward City Hall. Under a train. At Internal Affairs, Niebaum is handcuffed to a chair. A man, a woman, and Frost are sitting on the floor cuffed to file cabinets.
Danny, listen to me. It's not too late to stop this.
You trying to talk me down, Frosty? That it?
This is crazy. This isn't helping you.
Danny closes the blinds.
Hey, me and him have nothing to do with this, you know.
Right. Danny, I've known you for 20 years. What are you doing?
Look, I know I made you stay, Frost, but you cannot monopolize the conversation. You're not the scene commander here. I am. You. You're Niebaum's secretary, right? What's your name?
My name's Maggie, and I'm his assistant.
Well, Maggie,
Don't be scared. I'm somewhat familiar with situations like this, all right?
I'm not scared. I've been mugged twice, once at gunpoint. Guns are not new to me. But I'd rather avoid them if I get the chance, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, I don't think you're gonna have that chance this time, Maggie. And if you're Nibom's assistant, you have everything to do with this.
Yeah, but not me, bro. Okay? I don't work for this pig. I'm not a cop.
I know. You're Rudy Timmons. You're a rat for the rat squad. You don't remember me? I arrested you in 92 for credit card fraud.
Ah, shoot. Yeah, well, I remember you. I remember you. Hey, man. Hey, last time I saw you, you were a clean-cut boy in blue. What happened to you, man?
That's what we're here to find out, Rudy.
The Chicago skyline is shown from the water. It's a cloudy day, and a police helicopter flies by.
I wonder if they're out there. Your partner's Nibom. The guilty ones. My guys. They'll come, you know. Scared I'll get the truth out of you and try and stop me. And if they can't get me, they'll kill you.
Policemen are setting up barricades as squad cars and helicopters arrive on the scene. Commander Beck gets out of a black SUV.
Alan, and then clear the perimeter, start evac. I don't want anything moving in that freaking river. All right, locate the phone panel, lock down the elevator, have these guys clear the stairwell, have you the two hold outside internal affairs.
You got it. Come on.
Chief.
Cripes, they're here already.
We'll set up command on that barge over there so the press can't get to us.
Beck looks at a barge in the river that has a portable building on it. SWAT team members slide down ropes from a helicopter onto a roof. Uniformed police officers set up more barricades. A SWAT team enters an office building and sweeps everything off of a desk so they can set up their high-powered rifles. Someone sticks a small silver device to a window. Snipers take positions on a roof. It's getting dark. Police floodlights are aimed at City Hall, where Danny is holding his hostages. At the command center...
Wally, what do you got for me?
Lock down the elevators from the 20th floor down.
Beck!
Let's get the phones hooked up!
I got a real concern. He knows our tactics, and we got a lot of real estate to lock down. Do we have the manpower?
We got personnel from 6 different districts. But he's still going to try and control the environment.
He looks up at the building.
We'll just see who wins a race.
Danny tears some duct tape with his teeth. Two men use a power socket wrench on an electrical panel. Danny tapes up a trap door in the ceiling of an elevator while sparks fly from the elevator's control panel. Equipment slides down a zip line. Danny spots a ceiling vent. Someone pokes a tubular video camera into another vent as Danny tapes cardboard over the ceiling vent.
Perpetrator is an expert marksman. He's an expert in explosives and tactics. Gentlemen, play this by the numbers. Maintain your fields of fire.
A SWAT officer rappels down the building. Danny holds his hand in front of a wall vent.
Elevators.
Hellman gives directions to his SWAT unit. Danny peers out a window and sees police cars and a helicopter. Eagle puts down his binoculars.
Roman's up there, man.
We've got Frost inside. We see a chance to end this, we take him out.
People are crowding the barricades. At the command post.
We're blind and we see in 2020.
Intel?
Yeah.
I want visuals and audio set up from 19 and 21.
Yes, sir.
Farley, you're negotiating.
Lead Farley up.
Commander, you know, if you want to talk to him, if you can't handle him, I won't have a choice.
Get him locked down first. In the meantime, Farley, get on the freaking phone.
Someone locate the building engineer.
Right away.
Farley picks up the phone. Danny's phone rings and he looks at a floor vent. Two men enter the command post.
Chief Travis. Special Agents Gray, this is Moran. We're the FBI negotiators.
Everyone looks at them.
It's a federal building. It's our jurisdiction.
He's one of ours. We got this.
It's fine with us, for now.
A cable with a camera on it snakes up through a vent into the hostage room.
Chief, we got eyes free.
The chief and Beck put on headphones and look at a monitor. They see Danny reach toward the camera. He yanks it out.
Go to camera two.
Camera two shows Danny walking toward it, climbing on a chair, and ripping the camera out. Beck looks around. Danny throws the camera on the floor and walks over to a floor vent. He grabs the cable that's poking up and rips it out. The TV monitor goes to static.
We got all six. We got nothing.
We've got to see in that room.
Beck takes off his headphones.
No eyes, no ears. Looks like we're running out of options.
I want status reports now.
Give me an update.
Give me status. Somebody give me status. Tell me what you see.
All shafts are locked down, sir.
Lines closed. Visibility zero, sir.
We contained him.
We have not contained him. He's contained himself. He's cut us off.
Try the phone again. Let's see what he wants.
Farley calls. Danny tosses the phone to Rudy.
Talk.
Hello?
Farley motions to the others to listen in.
Yeah. Hello? I'm Rudy, so don't shoot me thinking I'm him, please.
Rudy, my name is Farley. Could you please get Danny on the line?
Farley would like to talk to you.
Tell him I only want to talk to Chris Sabian.
Kneebaum cocks his head.
He'll only talk to, Chris Sabian.
Tell him if Sabian's not here in 20 minutes, you die. I don't want to talk to anyone else but Chris Sabian.
Yeah, okay. We heard you.
He said they heard you.
Danny takes the phone from Rudy.
Who's Chris Sabian? I heard that name before.
He's from the West Side. Once he talked 55 hours, never forces tactical action. I don't know how Danny knows him. So find Sabian.
911, Chris Sabian.
Talk to me.
A man is crouching outside a door.
I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere, so please come out.
You don't want me to come out. I want to kill her right now.
I do want you to come out. I want you to come out so we can discuss this.
He motions to a girl.
You're not even listening to me.
Yes, I am listening to you. I just, you promised that you'd come out. So come on out, all right? I don't want to do this through the door.
The door opens and he stands.
Look, I want to do something without arguing, okay? Let's get on the road. Your clothes look fine.
No. According to some people, I look fat in ski clothes.
No, look, that's not the word she used. You know, she used a...
He looks at the girl who's on the phone giggling.
A much worse word.
He walks over to the girl and tries to be stern.
Honey, get off the phone.
Get off the phone.
Get off the phone. I'm your father, and I'm very upset with you right now. And I want you to apologize to your mother for saying that she looks
Wide.
The man and girl try not to laugh.
Well, that is not a good word to use, wide. How would you like to be called wide?
Do you hear me? I am very serious. I'm very angry with you. Right now. Get off the phone. Get off the phone.
Don't you make me push.
You know, I once talked a man out of blowing up the Sears Tower, but I cannot talk my wife out of a bedroom or my kid off a phone.
That's because no one's standing behind you with a big gun.
He looks toward the door.
Yeah, well, that's debatable.
Oh, hold on. Huh? Yeah, right here. It's for you.
Hello?
The man's face turns serious. At the command post.
Sabian's 20 minutes out.
We only got 15.
All right, call Danny again. Get him to change that deadline. Tell him Sabian's on his way.
Farley picks up the phone. Danny answers.
Sabian?
No, it's Farley.
Look, Farley, I told you, I don't want to talk to anyone but Chris Sabian.
He's on his way, okay? He's gonna be here real soon. We just need a little bit more time, okay?
But you don't have more time, Farley.
Danny, please, tell me what's... What are you doing here, okay? This is, like, pretty serious.
You're damn right this is serious, so why don't you take me seriously?
Well, we are. I just want to talk to you, okay?
Wait. You think you can talk me down, Farley?
Look, I need to, tell me what you want, all right?
Farley takes off his windbreaker.
Okay, Farley. You want a shot? I'll give you a shot. Yeah, we got some time before Sabian gets here. Oh, what do I want? Let's see. Can I see a priest?
No, you can't see a priest.
That's good, Farley. That's good. You shouldn't let me see a priest. Because a priest is associated with death, and you don't want me thinking about death in my state now, do you?
No.
Farley sweats.
But you told me no, Farley. You can't say no. Never use no in a hostage situation.
Danny, would you relax a little bit?
Relaxed? I'm very relaxed. But let me give you some advice. Never say no to a hostage taker. It's in the manual. Now, are you going to tell me no again?
No, I'm not.
No, wrong answer. Eliminate no vocabulary, Farley. Never use no, don't, won't, or can't. All right? It eliminates options. The only option that leaves is to shoot someone. Understand?
Yes,
good. See, yes is good. If you say no again, I'll kill somebody, all right? Now let's practice. Can I see a priest?
Let's not. You know what? Can we just, like, talk?
You wanted to talk. We are talking. Now, can I see a priest?
I'll see what I can do.
That's good, Farley. Now you're learning. Now, I'd like a submachine gun so I can blow everyone away.
I'll look into that.
Good. You're doing good, Farley. You ever cheat on your wife, Farley?
No.
Watch yourself. I'll kill someone. You ever cheat on your wife? Yeah. Answer!
I'll see what I can do. I'd have to think about that. I'll look into that.
You ever, dress up like a schoolgirl and get your ass spanked, Farley?
Danny, look, okay, all I want to do is just talk to you.
I am talking! Now, did you or did you not ever dress up like a schoolgirl and get your ass spanked?
I have to look into that, Danny.
Oh, jeez, Farley, you know... Nothing against you dressing up like a little girl, but I didn't know that about you, Farley.
Danny, you know, this is really, really unproductive.
Unproductive? You're right. It is. So, tell me a joke, Farley. You know any jokes?
No!
You just cost someone their life, Farley! Game over!
Danny shoots at the ceiling and Palermo aims his sniper gun.
Shot fired! Can anyone see?
People outside point up at the building.
You can't talk me down! You can't make me change the deadline! Now get me Sabian! You got 6 minutes, 42, 41, 40!
Danny's in. Anybody hurt, Danny? I'm on the line! Anybody hurt?
We're okay. Just don't be saying no more.
Oh, for crying. All right, everybody, calm down. I'm so sorry.
Give me status. Somebody give me status. Tell me what you see.
Visibility zero, sir.
Just a few moments ago, a single shot was fired inside the city administration building.
We, of course, could not hear it down here.
Well, we got the whole city of Chicago watching this. And this could turn into a press nightmare. What do we do if Sabian can't make it? We gotta remember that that standing woman upstairs, we worked with the guy for 12 years, and we don't really know what he's done.
We know he's done right now.
I don't want this to get personal for us either.
He's obviously over there. Hey, do you mind?
Beck glares at the FBI agents who are eavesdropping.
He's obviously gone over the edge. This is not personal. I thought I was sending these guys and my team in there would put more people in jeopardy. I wouldn't consider it. I don't want to go in there. It's our best option. He can't be talked down.
Upstairs.
They'll get us out. Don't worry about Danny. He's not going to hurt anybody.
No one knows what this crazy sucker's going to do.
This has nothing to do with me and Maggie. You know, you're his friend. You get him to let us go. Because once you familiarize yourself with the chains of bondage, you prepare your own limbs to wear them. Freaking Abraham Lincoln said that, and I believe him. So you have got to get me the freak out now!
Do yourself a favor, Rudy, and just keep quiet. We'll handle this.
Oh, don't tell me to be quiet. And don't tell me you can freaking handle it. Because none of you ever been in a situation like this before.
Just shut up.
All right, that's enough. He's gonna hear you out there, and he's the one who's got the gun, so he's the one who's in charge. Both of you need to pipe down now.
Danny wheels in a TV.
Danny, I think you should let Maggie go. She's not involved. She's a woman, and I think it's only fair that
I didn't ask to be let go because I'm a woman. I hate that crap. Me and him should be let go because we had nothing to do with this.
Absolutely.
Between you cops.
We have nothing to do with this. Danny. Look, I'm not just some dirt merchant loose in the street anymore. I got a nice new lady friend that I would like to get back to. And she has got this kid, Albert. Ah, super kid, man. Great kid.
Danny, what do you think he can do? Take a look at that screen. They think you're a killer, Danny. They're going to try to take you out. Now, what do you think Sabian can do? He can't do anything to stop this.
What about you, Frosty? You think I'm a killer too, huh? Come on. You've known me for 20 years.
You think I killed Nate?
I don't know what to think, Danny. I'll tell you this, Danny boy. What you're doing is not helping.
Danny stares at Frost. Outside, fire trucks and ambulances have joined the crowd. Danny talks to Farley on a two-way radio.
Hey, schoolgirl. You still sweating that ugly display you gave us all a few minutes ago?
Stop kicking yourself in the ass. We all have our bad days. Beck.
Stop trying to figure out how to get in here. I'm pretty well bunkered. Palermo.
Take that toothpick out of your mouth.
Wouldn't want you to swallow if something goes down.
That's right, sports fans. It's me, Danny Roman, the man upstairs. Just wanted to say hello before the curtain goes up on this little drama.
I guess you're all wondering why we're here.
Well, it's simple. We're here to find out who took our money and who killed Nate, because it wasn't me. There's some bad cops among us.
And today, we're gonna find out who they are. Now, I know how that sounds. I know what you're thinking. He's gone. He's a murderer.
But I'm that same son of a bitch you trusted your lives with, played softball with, went drinking with. I'm the same guy you invited to your house to celebrate your kid's baptism time, right?
The same guy who saved Palermo's ass when that sniper had a bead on him at the stadium gig.
Oh, this is good, huh? Danny's trying to get us to Stockholm so we think twice about taking him out.
Now, I need you guys to understand that I had no choice here. My life was being stripped away from me. First, they killed Nate. Then they took my badge. Then you guys. Next, they were going to take away my wife by sending me to prison. And that, I cannot take. I can't live without. Put yourself in my position.
Reporters are listening.
What else could I do?
Gaines, get word out to our team. We're switching to frequency 3 now.
Yes, sir.
Run.
I tried to tell everyone I was being set up, but no one wanted to listen.
Sabian listens while driving.
Now you have no choice. You got to listen, because we're not leaving here until I find out who set me up. Now let me warn you. Whoever killed Nate is frightened that Nibom might know something. They're going to try and end this quickly. Another warning. I know the rules of engagement, so don't test me. You've got 4 minutes to get Sabian here, or you'll find out just how serious I really am.
Sabian is speeding to City Hall. Tonray and Beck wait at the command post. Upstairs, Danny looks at Nibom.
I want you to look me in the eye, Nibom. Right here. Now tell me, when did you find out Nate was investigating the fund?
Frost and Maggie look at Nibom, who fidgets, licks his lips, and looks upward.
I first found that Nathan was conducting the investigation after I spoke with you after he was killed.
Danny shakes his head.
You're lying. And I know you're lying.
Oh, you know it, huh? Well, you can read my mind, Roman, is that it?
No, I'm not. I'm reading your eyes. The eyes can't lie. Didn't you know what I was doing? A quick lesson in lying. See, this is what us real cops do. We study liars. Example, if I ask you a question about something visual, like your favorite color, and your eyes go up and to the left, well, neurophysiology tells us that your eyes go in that direction because you're accessing the visual cortex. Therefore, you're telling the truth. If your eyes go up and right, then you're accessing the creative centers of the brain, and we know you're full of it.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's try this again. What's your favorite television show?
I'm not going to play your stupid, foolish game, okay, Roman?
Oh, why, Nibom? You afraid we'll catch you in a lie?
Nibom looks around.
When did you find out Nate was investigating the fund?
After I spoke with you.
Whoa, that is a lie. If I ever even blinked my eyes.
It's your body language. It says you're lying.
He's nervous, Danny. What do you expect from him?
Shut up, Frost. You know how this works. It's not just your eyes, Nibom. It's everything. If you cough, sneeze, cross your legs, scratch your ass, they're all telltale signs. You can't cheat. You can stare at me with those dead-ass eyes of yours all you want. You can't beat the system. One last question. Do you know who killed Nate?
Nibom looks at Danny and leans forward.
You.
I don't know. I couldn't tell. I'm sorry. Up, down, right, left.
Yeah. So, what are we gonna do now? Card tricks, Roman?
Shut your face up, Nibom! You knew Nate was investigating the fund, and you killed him!
Danny aims his gun at Nibom.
You could have ended this. I guess you don't want to, huh? That's too bad. That's really too bad, Rudy. Because Danny Roman was just starting to like you.
Well, tell Danny Roman to hold on.
Danny, you don't want to do this.
How do you know? If you think I could kill Nate, how, my friend, do you know I don't want to do this?
He aims at Rudy.
Yeah.
Danny Roman, this is Chris Sabian here.
Oh, good timing, Chris. You made it just in time.
Well, I got lucky. Traffic was light.
Glad you accepted my invitation.
I wouldn't have missed it for the world. What's it been, Danny? 2 years?
Yeah, not since both our teams showed up for that gig on the north side.
You pulled rank and ran my boys out of there.
Two negotiators on the same site. Never worked.
So what's this then? The exception that disproves the rule?
Look, you do your job, I do mine. Maybe we both walk out of here in one piece.
Sabian walks faster as his cell phone loses power.
All right then, Danny, here's the million-dollar question.
Why you?
Exactly.
Well, I got my reasons. I just don't want to go into them right now. We'll talk about that later. This is our first date, Chris. The courting period. So, what do guys like you do when they're not talking to guys like me now?
Well, I'm pretty much of a homebody, Danny. I spend a lot of time with my family.
He switches to a landline.
My kid. I read a lot of books.
No, I watch a lot of old movies, you know? AMC.
You got a satellite? You show all those old westerns.
Westerns? I like comedies myself. I did like Shane, though. That's a good one.
Shane, now that's a good one. But I'd have picked one where the hero lives at the end, you know, like a Rio Bravo or a Red River.
I think you're talking about the wrong movie there, Chris. You know, Shane lives. At the end of it, he's riding off and that kid, Brandon...
DeWilda.
Yeah, Brandon DeWilda's calling his name. Shane, come back, Shane.
Well, Danny, I'm sorry to have to be the one to tell you this, but Shane died.
You never see Shane dead. That's an assumption.
No, it's a common mistake. You see, in the final shot, you see him slumped over on his horse. He doesn't look back because he can't. Shane's dead.
He slumped because he's shot. Slumped don't mean dead.
Well, I guess you think that Bush and Sundance live too, even though you never see them dead. They're entirely surrounded.
Oh, so now you're some kind of history buff.
Yeah, I generally read histories and biographies.
Well, don't believe everything you read in books.
Well, I didn't say I read just one book. I try to read all the books on a subject. You know, try to get all the facts and then decide for myself what really happened.
Mm-hmm. Get all the facts, huh? Yeah, that's smart. You're much better at this than Farley, you know? All right, before we start to bore everyone, let's get back to business. First, my list of demands.
Sabian picks up a pen.
One, I want my badge brought down here. Two, if I die, I want a departmental funeral.
No one's gonna die here, Danny.
Three, I want the informant found. He's the only one that can clear my name, and he's the only one who knows who's running this conspiracy. Four, I want to know who killed my partner. Now, if neither the informant or killer is found in 8 hours, I will kill one hostage an hour until they're all dead. Five, I want to talk to you face to face, now.
Sabian assesses the situation.
Scene commander's upstairs.
Yeah, but you can talk to me.
You're the chief.
Yes, Travis.
Nice to meet you. You're Beck?
You're Farley.
Farley. All right. Vest.
Are you going up there?
Yes.
Why didn't you try and talk him down?
He would have expected it. His sheet, please. Anyone know why you asked for me?
We were hoping you could answer that.
I can't. Psych evaluation. Who's on it?
That's Donray.
He may actually think he's innocent.
With his knowledge, we're probably going to have to go tactical. We put a plan together. But if we can distract him long enough, we can send in an infiltration team. We'll keep it small.
Well, let's just wait on that.
The wife's here.
Oh, God. How is he? Has he heard anyone? Who's talking to him?
He's okay. He asked for Chris Sabian.
Chris Sabian?
I'm Chris Sabian.
Do you know Danny?
No.
I know it doesn't matter to you, but he didn't do those things to say. You have to help him.
Mrs. Roman, I have no idea about Danny's guilt or innocence. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to try to get him out safely. So if you want to help, go with Tonry, answer some of his questions, and then we'll have someone drive you
home. No, I'm not going home.
Mrs. Roman, you bring tension and emotion to a scene that already has too much of both.
I am not leaving my husband.
All right, fine. But if you want to help him, help me. I have to get up there now. He wants to talk to me. Go with Tonray, answer his questions, and then stay in case we need you. That's the best I can do.
Karen, just come with me and talk, okay? It's gonna be all right.
Karen leaves with Tonray.
All right, how do I get up?
Take the freight elevator to the 18th floor and you walk the rest of the way.
All right, I'm assuming you got all these points covered. What is this? This is a shaft off internal affairs?
No, that's access to the steam pipes. It's unusable.
All right. First, let's get his badge down here. Second, shut off the heat. He'll know it's coming, but we might need a little hostage to get his back. What channel are we on?
Three. Chief, I want to show you something.
Beck points to the floor plan.
Danny, take me.
Yeah, take him. Come on. Okay.
I got the asthma, you know? You can't put me in situations, man. Oh, for Christ. Why are you always picking on me? I mean, who am I, Charlie Brown? You know what Nietzsche says? Even the strongest have their moments of fatigue. And I'm fatigued, Dan. I'm freaking fatigued.
Danny pulls Rudy up. Maggie and Frost look at each other. Sabian climbs stairs in his ski clothes and a bulletproof vest. Rudy opens a door for Sabian.
You okay?
Do I look okay? I got a gun pointed to the back of my head. Nice pants.
Hey, shut up, Mr. Blackwell. Get over here. You working?
Sort of. I was negotiating a truce between my wife and daughter.
That might prove to be easy by comparison.
It wouldn't surprise me in the least.
So you shut off the heat already?
You know how this works, Danny.
Yeah, I do. Next time you try and bluff, make sure you charge your cell phone.
All right, now you want to tell me what I'm doing up here?
I wanted to tell you face to face I'm not crazy. I'm just doing this to prove my innocence.
I believe you, Danny. Anything I can do to help you get out of here, you know I...
Don't try and patronize me, man. I know you don't think I'm innocent, so don't tell me I want to do everything I can to help you get out of here. Don't talk to me like I'm some second-rate HT.
All right, you're right. I'm sorry. My mistake.
Yeah, you are sorry. Get out of here. Lock the door.
No, wait,
call
Danny,
me when you want
Danny,
to talk.
Danny, I'm ready to talk. You're right. You're right. I don't know if you're innocent or not. You could have done everything they say you've done. You could have killed that cop. I don't know, and I don't care. There are ways to prove your innocence. This is hardly one of them. And now you've got hostages. So let me tell you this. You hurt one of them, you're going to burn up whatever currency you've got to deal with me. They're all I care about. You leaving here walking is a distant second. Now, do I make myself clear?
Good. Now we're getting somewhere.
Good. Now answer my question. What am I doing up here?
Before Nate was killed, he told me the men involved in the fraud are from my precinct. Guys I know. Guys I might call friends.
And?
And you're not. When your friends betray you, sometimes the only people you can trust are strangers.
Danny turns around. Danny pushes and drags Rudy across the office. Two SWAT agents rappelling from ropes break through a window and shards of glass cut Frost's forehead. The rappellers start shooting, wounding Danny's right arm. Danny holds a gun to Rudy's neck.
Drop the gun! Drop him! Put it down!
Put it down, baby!
You are jeopardizing the life of this hostage! Drop your gun!
Drop your weapon now!
Sniper team, can anyone see Roman? Look for the one shot.
From a rooftop across the street, Palermo looks through his scope.
We have the target acquired.
Put him down!
Drop the weapon, Danny!
Drop your weapon now!
The weapon!
Down,
put it! Drop the gun! Up it! Put it down now!
There's a red laser dot on Danny's head. Eagle lowers his binoculars.
Put it down, Danny! Now! Drop it!
You're gonna get this man killed! Drop your weapon! Put your gun down! Tell him! Tell him, Frost! Put the gun down now! Drop your weapon!
The two rappellers put their weapons down.
Green light, take the subject out.
Barley and Tonray frown.
Can't believe this.
Palermo, take the subject out!
Sweat trickles down Palermo's face.
Palermo! Take the subject out!
Copy.
Don't tell me copy! Pull the trigger!
Copy!
Palermo slowly starts to pull the trigger, his sights set on Danny. Then Palermo looks up.
I cannot take the shot.
Eagle sighs.
Pull the trigger.
Negative, sir! I cannot take this shot!
Come on!
Hellman takes off his helmet.
Palermo, bring it in. You're relieved.
Palermo puts his gun down and walks away. Eagle stands and watches him go, then looks down.
Kick it!
A rappeller kicks his gun to Danny, and he picks it up. Agent Gray speaks.
Looks like the HT speech worked.
Stand back. We have this.
Gray looks at Moran, who goes into another room to make a phone call. Sabian bursts in.
Is this your command or is it his?
He stares at the chief but points to Beck.
You had him distracted. We saw an opportunity to end this. We had to take it.
No, you put me and those hostages at risk. That's what you did. And that's not how I work. First, we talk.
It was my call. We don't feel this man can be talked down.
Oh, really? I've been here a half hour. How do you know that?
The chief looks around the room.
With all due respect, sir, I have kept a zero casualty rate for 5 years, precisely because this kind of action is a last resort.
This is not your command, Sabian.
Yeah, that's right. You know what my command is? To get those people out safely. That's my command!
Well, you don't know this man, Lieutenant! He's manipulating this whole situation. Look what he did to Palermo. If we give him enough time, and he knows you'll do it, because he knows how you work.
Got a point, Sabian. And we do have a chain of command here.
Yeah, your chain of command has just given Danny Roman two more hostages. Officers! You gonna take responsibility if he takes one of them out? Because I don't! They're just waiting to take this over. You want that to happen? So this is gonna be very easy for you. Roman asked for me, and he's gonna get me. We're gonna do it my way, or I walk. I got no truck with leaving you with this responsibility. Now it's your decision, or they're gonna take it over!
He looks at the FBI agents.
You have command for now, but I'm still the ranking officer on the scene, and I will be watching.
Good. You watch. Now do me a favor. Please introduce me to our team.
Attention. This is your chief, Al Travis. I would like to introduce you to the negotiator, Chris Sabian, who, as of now, as full command.
Sabian looks at Beck.
My name is Chris Sabian, and as of right now, all decisions go through me. No order is valid unless I give it. No action is taken unless prior approved by me. I know we understand each other, and that we'll work together to try to end this safely and quickly.
Sabian stares at the chief.
It didn't work, Beck! I'm still alive, my friend!
Danny? It's Chris. Danny, listen to me. Pick up the radio and talk to him, man.
Karen looks up at the building. Danny stands at the broken window, holds up his sweater, and turns around.
Nothing! Look! You guys with the cameras! You get that? All I have to go was more time, and they tried to take me out! It is the policy of the Chicago Police to resolve all hostage situations with the utmost regard for the preservation of life!
Get his wife. We might need her.
Karen looks up at a helicopter. Red laser dots are trained on Danny.
You want my blood? Take my blood! Come on! Here it is! Take it!
Chief, they have a shot. We can end it right here.
No one takes that shot. No one. You want to shoot him on national television now?
Move the crowd back. I want the area clear.
Go ahead! Take my blood! Go ahead! Take your shot!
Give me the order.
Give me the order.
Wait.
Do not take that shot! What am I gonna have to do to be heard, huh? Am I gonna have to hurt somebody to get respect? Well, alright! Alright, I win!
He walks away from the window.
Danny, listen to me. You don't want to do that. You do not want to take this to the next level.
Can he hear me? Does he have a radio?
Think you can come in here and just shoot and get away with it, huh? No, no, they send you in here to kill me and you just do it?
You just think you can come in here and kill me and get away with it? I know you're one of them. I know you. Well, now you're going to pay for doing this.
Do not hurt anyone. Do not do that, all right? I am in command here. No one is going to do anything without my authority. I am in control here.
You are not in control. They are. They're not listening to you, Chris. So I'm going to show them why they should. One of the son of a bitches you sent in here to kill me is about to die. And every time you try to come in, this will happen. Now move! Move! Get in there! Get in there! Go! Down! Are you one of them, Scott? One of the men that set me up? Is that why you want me?
He hit Scott with his gun.
Danny, it's me, Karen.
Danny, please talk to me.
Danny looks at his radio and closes his eyes. Scott is lying on the floor bleeding. Danny starts to speak, then puts the radio down and pulls the trigger. Sabian and Karen jump. Tears are running down her face. Sabian looks at Beck. Karen drops her radio. Upstairs, the hostages look around anxiously.
Do not come in here again.
Sweat is pouring off the other repeller. She leaves, and Sabian puts his hand on his forehead.
Cut the electric. Cut it now.
After hours of little to no action, within the past couple minutes, we've witnessed a flurry of activity up there on the 20th floor of the Chicago Administration Building, and it looks like there's a little more action going on over here right now. They've cleared the barricades, and it looks like a number of plainclothes, actually those are federal sedans, FBI agents, in fact, arriving on the scene. This is a major development to this story, because up until now, this negotiation has been handled exclusively by the Chicago Police Department. With the arrival of the feds, it means they are either coming to aid in the negotiation or perhaps, or more likely, to take over the negotiations. But that is all speculation at this point. All we know is that they are now on the scene, and we'll have to wait and see what becomes.
What have you done, Danny?
Danny, you just ruined yourself completely. You killed a cop. You killed an innocent man!
He wasn't innocent. He's one of them. Tried to kill me.
Danny sets emergency lights on a desk.
I told you all, when I came in here, I wasn't leaving till I got the truth.
He takes percussion bombs out of Scott's vest.
I don't care how long it takes. You could have prevented this.
The electricity goes out.
Why don't you just tell him something, Meat Bomb? Why don't you just freaking tell him anything?
Inspector.
Danny walks over to Maggie.
Five years, Maggie. You must know something.
Please, Inspector.
Maggie. He already lied when he knew it would cost someone their life. Now, if you know something, anything, you tell me now.
He keeps all his personal files on the computer. I'm not supposed to know about them, but I do. There's a lot of stuff on there. Probably could help you.
Frost, unlock yourself. Get the computer.
All right, I just saw your troops moving in. I want guns going off, and I want you going in. I want to guarantee, before the press starts framing this story, that I have another hour. I know. Another hour, I want to guarantee.
You can answer the phone?
Yes.
You have one shot.
Thank you.
Sabian walks to the phone, but doesn't answer it.
Are you going to get that or what?
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you, Chris, but what the heck took you so long?
I'm busy.
Busy? A piece of advice. Never keep a hostage taker waiting. It pisses them off.
Sabian hangs up and folds his arms. Farley looks stunned.
Relax. He'll call back.
Who do you think you're dealing with?
Sabian hangs up again.
If you have a problem, Lieutenant, maybe you want to let us handle this.
Tell him I'm on my way up.
Me, tell him.
Farley, get the phone.
Yeah.
Sabian!
No, it's for...
Farley winces.
Danny. Chris is on his way up.
Danny throws the phone down. Farley sits. Sabian opens a door. Danny holds a gun to Frost's neck.
We need to reopen negotiations.
I'm sorry, you want something from me?
I want the electricity turned back on.
You want something from me?
Danny stares at him.
You think killing a man gives you the power to negotiate with me? Why is that, Danny Rome? Think you know me? Because you think you can trust me? Because you think you know what I'm going to do, that I'm going to give you time?
He pulls out a gun.
Don't you count on it. Right now, I'm the only thing standing between you and an army that's just itching to walk in here and take you out. So you tell me something, Danny. Why should I get in their way, huh? Make me believe why I should deal with you ever again.
I still have hostages. They can still be punished for your mistakes.
What was that, a threat? Did you just threaten me? That's all I need to walk out of here, Dan.
The rules of engagement state you don't risk a breach if the hostage taker is willing to kill in retaliation. And I think I've proved I'm willing to do that.
He moves towards Sabian, who raises his gun.
Things are not what they seem, Chris. You saw what they did. They didn't tell you they were coming in because they want me dead.
Sabian looks at the hostages and cocks his head.
One more gun goes off, and I'm going to give the order to move in myself. You understand? Don't think you've bought anything by asking me to come here. Because you need to remember, I am a stranger to you. You have no idea what I'm capable of.
I need the electricity, so I can turn on that computer and get a look at Nibom's files. I also want food and blankets for the hostages.
I'll need a hostage, nothing less.
Take Frost.
Turn the electricity back on.
Could you repeat that, Sabian?
I'm about to walk out with a hostage. Do what I say. Turn the electricity back on.
It comes on, and Danny lets Frost go. Sabian and Danny stare at each other. Later, Sabian comes out of the building with Frost. Beck and the Chief meet them. Sabian glances at the cheering crowd. With handcuffs dangling from his wrist, Rudy types on a computer.
Credit card fraud and electronic theft. That's you, right, Rudy?
Oh, well, I got caught for credit card fraud and electronic theft. But the list goes on, you know. Look, I could sit here all night and get nothing. You know, I mean, what kind of security has this thing got?
Danny looks at Maggie. She looks at Nibom.
F1. Enter.
C-I-COM. G9.
Run a search.
Well,
look for anything that has to do with the disability fund.
Rudy types, find disability fund.
There's a lot of added security here. It's not bad. It's just outdated by about 6 months. Cops always two steps behind.
Scott's partner Marcus looks up. At the command post, Frost lights a cigarette.
He is looking for people to believe in him. I don't think I helped the situation. And then he shoots Scott. I couldn't do anything.
Frost, it would be helpful for me if you could tell me about Danny's relationship to the disability fund, his case, and specifically this informant. Anything you might have overheard or that you know that might be of use to me, that you think is pertinent.
Sure.
Upstairs.
Disability fund. Sub, directories, wires, and taps.
Click on wires.
Okay. Oh, man, there's a lot of wires. What are all these numbers?
Cops' badge numbers. Okay, now scroll down. Stop. Back up one. It's Nate's badge. Okay.
Kneebomb looks up.
Click that.
Well, they did do an audit. They didn't prove anything.
Hey, that's my...
Somebody's taking our money. We gotta find out who it is. You tell us...
Danny glares at Kneebomb.
You son of a bitch. You were tapping Nate. You knew he was investigating the fraud. You lie!
He slaps Kneebomb.
And then you killed him because he was getting too close.
Tap a lot of cops. There's only one killer in this room anyway.
I'm not the killer here. You are. Scroll back to October 12th, the night before Nate was killed.
There's only one recording.
Well, click on it.
All right.
Are you gonna talk to me?
It's that case I'm working on. Look, I'll just be a minute. I'm sorry, honey. I won't be long. I just want to see if he's here. You know, I don't want to talk to him on the phone. It's just not... But I'll see you soon. Okay? I'll just be a minute.
Okay.
I love you.
Mm-hmm. I love you too.
He was going to see his informant, wasn't he?
You know what you're talking about.
The night before Nate was killed, he told me he had just talked to his informant.
Yeah.
You knew that too.
Marcus looks up.
What's going on here, Kneebomb? Why can't you find this guy, huh? You gotta be looking for him so you can shut him up, too.
Danny stands in front of Kneebomb.
You don't know who he is, do you? Linda wouldn't tell you where they went that night, would she? Because she thinks you're as guilty as I am.
Kneebomb looks up at Danny. At the command post...
Go ahead, Danny.
Is this a private line?
You need it to be?
Yeah.
Sabian puts on headphones and unplugs the speaker.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I need you to talk to Linda Rennick, Nate's wife.
About what?
I found some taps that prove Kneebomb's been lying all along. I heard something on one of them. I need you to ask Linda about it. You and only you.
What do you want me to ask her?
Ask her where she and Nate went on the night of October 12th, the night before he died. Who he talked to. If she tells you who he saw, I give you another hostage. If she tells you nothing, you get nothing.
Have my hostage ready.
Yes. Yes. Great. All right. Excuse me. I gotta go.
Can we have a word?
Yes.
This is Hellman. He's been studying the blueprints with Beck. They have a suggestion.
You do take suggestions.
Hellman thinks we can get a team and event system right above Roman's position.
What we're suggesting is getting men in place for a crisis entry. Just one unit, only as a precaution. Now look, with this type of an entry, we can control him in case he starts shooting hostages, you know. And we can go in there strong. 2-3 seconds from bang to bullets.
Look, Sabian, we're not asking for a full breach. But we have a real concern that he may kill another one of our men. That may not mean much to you, but it means a hell of a lot to us.
Beck, please. Chris, I just want to be ready to go if we need to.
I agree with the commander's assessment, and I do care if our team is injured.
But they don't move, not an inch, no matter what Danny does,
without my authorization first. Understood?
Gentlemen?
Without a doubt.
Fine.
Sam.
Farley hands him a paper. He looks at it. Outside, a canine unit and FBI agents patrol the scene. Hellman approaches another SWAT team member.
Alan, we're gonna make an opportunity. We'll take him out if we get the shot.
Right.
He talks to another SWAT agent.
How you holding up, Hungry? Let's take a little break.
The SWAT agent leaves and Hellman turns to Argento.
I'm gonna get us inside. We can end this thing.
Let's do it.
Danny comes down some stairs.
Anybody gotta use the bathroom?
Yes, I do.
Me too. Where is it, Maggie?
Actually, there's one across the street at a nice little Italian restaurant, but I'm sure that's probably out of the question at this point.
No, you can use that one if you can hold it till we get out of here.
There's one down the hall.
He hands her the handcuff keys.
Thank you.
When she's gone, use this.
He hands Marcus a cup. Outside, Moran directs FBI agents.
In the event we need to contain the building, I need teams on 19, 20, and 21.
Yes, sir.
And secure the lot.
Yes, sir.
Paulie, what the hell is Sabian doing out there?
No idea. Guy came in about an hour ago. They've been talking ever since.
Sabian and a man with a cane get out of a squad car.
How is this taking so long?
They're trying to wear down Danny so he gets tired.
Why the hell do you have all these cops and their accounts in here, Nebo? Why are you investigating a fraud that you're part of?
I'm not part of any fraud.
Did you find out these cops were skimming from the fund and you blackmailed them? Is that how it works? But why these cops? These guys don't have access to the money.
Well, it's basically insurance fraud, right?
What?
It's... Look, somebody... Some of these guys on this list submit false claims. It's like with this auto body thing I pulled one. Some guy, I know, he would tell the insurance company his car had been wrecked, right? It's very simple.
And then?
Well, he'd never get paid if the claims agent went in on it.
So you need somebody with access to put the paperwork through, then cover it up.
Bingo! That's where you come in. Isn't it, Roman?
All right. What is this, Sabian? Who is this?
You're about to find out.
They all put their headphones on.
Danny?
You talked to Linda?
I've done one better. I found your informant. You're going to end up giving me all my hostages. Sergeant Cale Wangro. He knows he's involved. He was afraid to come forward after Nathan was killed, and he wasn't sure whether or not you were involved.
Well, who was it?
Listen, Danny, this is going to implicate too many people, all right? So the FBI is here. They're ready to take his statement to ensure impartiality. But I cannot have this go over the air, all right? So it's over, Danny. It's done. Come on out.
Get my wife in there. Get his wife. They found the informant.
Oh, thank God! Yes! Thank God! Congratulations, Maggie. You are free to go. Inspector, thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Sayonara. Let my people go, man! Come on, man. Give it up.
Chris, hold on a sec.
Danny taps a key on the computer.
We're at the Academy, worked at Area 6 together.
Chris, put Nate's informant on.
Wait, Danny, I don't want this broadcast.
Look, if he can clear my name, I want to talk to him now.
Sabian hands the phone to Cale.
Danny, this is Cale.
Hey, Cale. Very brave of you to come down like this. I guess you know I have a lot of questions, so let's just start with, who was involved in this conspiracy for 500, Cale?
I can't name names, not in front of everyone here. Wouldn't be appropriate.
I don't want to hear about appropriate. Just tell me who was involved. Now, who was it?
Men you know, Danny. There may be others. But I only know the names of the key players. Don't make me say their names.
Danny is writing down questions.
Why didn't you go see Nibom?
I didn't know if Nibom was getting paid off to be quiet or not. I couldn't trust him or internal affairs, so I did hear his name mentioned.
So Nibom was definitely involved. Thanks, Cale. Now, how did you know Nate?
From the Academy.
How long you been on the job?
Since 74. Why?
When's the last time you met with Nate?
The night before he died.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere.
Dan.
Rudy points to the computer.
Hold on, Cale.
Under Nate's photo, it says informant. Danny almost drops the phone. He walks around Rudy to get a better look at the computer. Next to Nate's photo, it says Bachelor of Science, Criminal Justice, Arizona State.
So, Nate tells me you played ball with him at Colorado State, is that right?
Yeah, Danny, but what does this have to do with anything?
Well, he went to Arizona State, Cale.
Sabian shakes his head. Rudy looks down, and Marcus and Maggie wrinkle their foreheads.
Put Chris on the phone.
Sabian whispers to Cale.
Nice try, Sabian. The little bluff didn't work.
Danny turns on his radio so all can hear.
Nibom told me Nate was his informant. Yes, he worked for IAD. Worked for Nibom all
Danny.
Along. He was describing himself. He just didn't want me to know. Now, Nibom says he was not part of the murder.
What's going on here, Sabian?
He's using our bluff against Nibom.
But he's willing to testify. He'll name names. If you'll grant him immunity on the murder charge, you call me back if we have a deal.
Danny, talk. We've been made.
What are you doing? I didn't make any deal. They think you did, Nibom. But there is no they, right? So you don't have a thing to worry about.
This was a bluff?
That all depends on your position, doesn't it?
Did you know about this, Frost?
No. No, I didn't. I told him what I knew about Nathan's informant. And this is how you use that information. Making us think that he's innocent after all of this.
What do you think you are?
I can use information any way I want to try to end this siege. I don't know who's innocent. That's what I'm trying to find out.
Don't call me in here to be part of one of your charades again.
Karen slaps Sabian.
Karen, you... Get him back.
He runs after her.
Karen, right now, understand, I don't know who to trust. Up there or in there. The bluff wasn't just for Danny.
Move, Rudy. Move!
Rudy rolls his chair out of the way. Danny puts on a vest and opens the door to the room with a broken window.
Who killed Nate?
Kneebaum turns away.
They killed Nate, Kneebaum! You think they won't kill you too?
A helicopter hovers outside. Danny pulls Kneebaum, handcuffed to a chair, toward the broken window.
What the hell are you doing? Where are you taking me, now? I know nothing! If you're going to take me out because you set me up, you're going to get another innocent man killed! I know nothing! Damn it! All right, don't put me in that room!
Hellman's team is crawling through the air ducts.
Okay! Don't put me in that room! Nate came to me with taps. I went to the guys who were implicated in the taps. They offered me money to lose the evidence. I did it. Okay, it was a one-time deal. They offered the same thing to Nate. I thought he'd take it. He didn't. They killed him.
Who's on the taps?
Get me out of this chair!
Who's on the taps?
All your friends! Who?
Argento. Hellman. Allen. Yeah.
You lie! I have proof! I have them on taps.
I'm talking about how they took money out of the fund.
They couldn't do that themselves. Now, who's in charge?
I don't know.
Are those taps on this computer here?
No.
Where are they?
I have them somewhere safe.
AirTAC 1, civilian unit approaching. Peel away.
You are flying in a government crime scene airspace. It is imperative you respect the 2-mile boundary law. Turn away from the building.
Hellman lifts a vent cover and pokes his gun through. He shoots the computer. Danny shoots back.
Who's firing?
Who the hell just fired?
No,
do not breach! Let me throw!
Team's position has been compromised. Unit 1, give me status.
Sending Unit 1.
Kill the lights, Unit 1.
An officer cuts the electricity off. Danny reloads under a desk. The emergency lights come on. Danny shoots. Then throws a percussion bomb at the vent. He sweeps all the bombs off the desk and onto the floor.
Unit 1, we're coming in.
Danny heaves a bomb up through a hole where some ceiling tiles have fallen out. The ceiling collapses and a SWAT team member falls with the ceiling. Unit 1 moves in and Danny throws some bombs at them. Unit 1 goes down some stairs. Danny throws another bomb up onto a file cabinet. It rolls across and falls on the other side. The SWAT team scurries out of the way before the bomb explodes.
Take him out now!
Take the subject out!
Do not fire! Do not! I did not give the order! Do not!
A SWAT member fires at Danny.
Terminate this breach!
A SWAT member tries to open a door that's locked with handcuffs. Maggie cowers under a blanket. Danny shoots some more. They open the handcuff door, and Danny throws another bomb. The crowd outside sees the flash of light it creates, and they point upward. Police officers push the crowd away from the building. Sabian picks up a two-way radio.
Danny, can you hear me?
Danny's with the hostages.
Maggie, you okay? Good. Marcus?
They're fine. Danny looks at Niebaum.
He's shot. Shot him.
Danny uncuffs him.
Hold on, Inspector. Just hold on. I'll get somebody up here to help.
Danny, can you hear me? Danny, is anyone else hurt up there?
Danny lifts Niebaum.
Danny, is anyone hurt up there?
He lays Niebaum on the floor.
Come on, hold on. I'm gonna get somebody, come on.
He reaches for his radio.
Get somebody up here, Niebaum's bitch. Oh,
Niebaum is still. Danny looks around. Rudy stares. Maggie sniffles.
He's dead.
You hear that, Chris? He killed him.
Sabian glares at Beck.
Danny, are you shot?
Danny looks around with sweat beating all over his face.
Danny, is anyone hurt up there?
Danny looks up at the ceiling.
Anyone else hurt up there?
What the hell happened? I step out of this room and someone gets killed.
It was an accident. What'd you expect my men to do?
A gun went off. Do you have any idea who shot first?
What the hell are you accusing us of?
A gun went
my
off.
My men responded to a situation.
That's it.
Firecracker goes off. You're
pulling the same
way.
Down.
You don't know what happened up there.
And what did we agree to? We agreed that no matter what Danny does, no one goes in without my authority. That's what we agreed on. You've got no eyes. You've got no ears up there. You got nothing but assumptions.
Hey, I called for the breach. It was conducted with my authority.
Not anymore. We're taking over. FBI cannot stand by and let the situation continue as it
Don't
has.
Don't take me off. Listen to me. Listen to me.
We're asking you to leave, Lieutenant Sabian.
All right, I bluffed him, but he knows what I was doing. He understands.
Commander Beck, we need to rotate your men off and replace them.
He thinks that someone just tried to kill him.
We're going in. Full breach.
Don't do it. Listen to me. Listen to me. You full breach and everyone's going to die. Do you understand that? Everyone's going to die. Now, maybe that's what some of you want to have happen, but I don't. I was brought here to save this man's life and to bring him out, all right? But there's no reason to jeopardize hostages.
Shut the hell up!
Beck and Sabian glare at each other.
Agent Moran, this is a mistake. You want to change negotiators, that's fine. But you give Roman even a 30-second window of opportunities. We trade men out, he'll exploit it. We got to keep him locked down. My men are in place, they can handle it.
We've seen what your men can handle. Please.
Your men stay in place. Our men will support yours, Commander, but you will execute orders that we give. You're off, Sabian.
I can't believe this. I'm just surrounded by a room of people who want to go in there and kill him. This is the guy you called your friend. I got nothing invested in this. I wonder why that is. Maybe someday we'll find out.
No more negotiating. Would you please escort Mr. Sabian to his car?
Lieutenant?
This way, sir.
You're dying to go up there. You call himself your friend,
huh? Danny Roman, this is Agent Gray of the FBI. Chris Sabian has been relieved of his command, and I'm in charge now, Danny.
As of this moment, all negotiations are suspended. You have 5 minutes to surrender.
Or we're coming in after you.
The chief looks away. Danny looks at the ceiling again. Meanwhile, Sabian is running outside. He's on TV.
Great. Sabian's going in.
Danny, it's me. I'm on my way up.
Danny, this wasn't your fault. We all heard him confess. He was the guilty one, not you.
Well, what's the matter, Maggie? Nate's dead. Niebaum's dead. Computer's dead.
Yeah. Look, Sabian.
Sabian is coming upstairs now. You have to tell him what Meatbomb said.
What, are you gonna give up now, man? Come on, that'd be a crime, man.
Danny looks at Maggie.
Listen, all of you. I'm sorry I got you into this. This will all be over soon.
Danny, pick up the phone, or we will be forced to come in.
Maggie, did you tell my wife something for me? Just tell her I was trying to keep my promise.
Maggie stares at him with her mouth open. Danny picks up the cordless phone.
Hey, Danny. You know, Niebaum worked at home just about as much as he worked here.
He looks at the computer's disk drive.
He could have kept Nathan's tabs there.
Danny loads his gun and aims it at the door as Sabian enters.
You alone?
Sabian nods.
Listen, you gotta surrender now. I can't hold them back anymore. They're coming up.
You're getting too close, Chris. I know what went down now. Niebaum told me Hellman, Allen, and Argento are involved.
You got no proof.
Yes, he does. Niebaum confessed, and we all heard him.
You know, they're shooting us one by one. Wait, you gonna help us or what?
Who called for the breach? Beck?
Yeah, but he says you fired first. His men responded. Niebaum was an accident.
Niebaum was no accident. He was assassinated. He's got 3 bullets, center mass. Look!
Sabian looks at the massive wound in Niebaum's chest, the 3 bullet holes in the file cabinet behind his chair, and the blood-soaked chair back with matching bullet holes.
Come on, Chris. You gotta admit something's going on.
It doesn't matter what's going on, Danny. 2 cops are dead and you killed one of them. I need to get you and these hostages out of here before they come in.
Danny walks over to a door. Sabian goes after him.
Let's end this, Danny!
Danny slams Sabian up against the wall and points his gun at him. He turns Sabian around so he can see Scott lying on the floor with duct tape over his mouth. He's alive.
Now, they had to believe I was capable of that. There's only one dead cop up here, killed by the men who tried to set me up. Now, I know Nate tapped Hellman and the others, and I think those taps are at Niebaum's house. If I can get there, I can end this.
They're gonna kill you, Danny. You understand that? You got no way out of here unless you surrender.
You gave me a way out when you shut the heat off. Now, you know there's another way you can help me. You were wrong about me.
The electricity goes off.
What if I'm right about them?
What if you're wrong about me?
Sabian walks out.
Maggie, uncuff yourself. Get in the conference room.
Danny tosses her some keys and pushes a desk. In the command center, Agent Gray picks up a radio.
Initiating full breach. Shoot on sight.
FBI SWAT team members head for the building. Maggie uncuffs Marcus. Sabian meets the SWAT team on his way down. They shine a light on his police vest and he goes on down the stairs. Danny is throwing furniture. While Marcus uncuffs Rudy. Hostages huddle in the conference room and observe Danny through a window. More SWAT members enter. Someone sticks a device on some glass. Danny picks up a percussion bomb, pulls the pin, and throws it on the pile of furniture he has made. As he walks toward the conference room, the bomb explodes and the furniture catches fire. The hostages stare at the flames, which are reflected in the glass. SWAT members run across the lobby floor over the seal of the city. Danny hands Maggie a gas mask.
Here, Maggie. Use this. Marcus, split this between you and Rudy. Wet it. You know the drill. There's gonna be a lot of gas and smoke. Yeah, those keys.
Marcus grips Danny's hand and gives him a serious look as he hands him the keys. Danny smiles a little and nods.
Don't be scared. They're coming to save you in a minute.
Down, 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 on the ground, down.
Danny picks up a gas mask and looks back at Rudy. An officer in a helicopter fires a canister of tear gas through the window. And then another. An officer rappels down the building. Glass breaks and he swings in. Agents with lights on their guns head toward the fire. They swing their guns around as they move through the smoke. They shoot out a window and walk past the flames into the internal affairs office. More tear gas canisters roll across the carpet.
Look out!
Another man rappels into the building. The sprinklers come on. Officers continue through the fire, smoke, tear gas, and water. Someone in a gas mask crawls through the air ducts. Agents enter the conference room.
Found the hostages. No sign of running.
Check the elevator shaft. Check every vent. Check the basement.
Come on, get up! Let's go! Let's go!
They open another door and find Scott with a rag over his mouth.
Look out, Scott! He's alive!
They pull him out and shine a light into an air duct where the vent has been pulled back. A man in a police SWAT uniform and gas mask sneaks around a corner in a room full of pipes. Sabian holds a gun to his head.
You want to prove your innocence? Here's your chance. But you make one wrong move, and I'm going to take you down myself. Understand?
Danny nods and lets Sabian have his gun.
All right, you want to get out of here? Follow me.
The chief, Beck, Frost, and Moran enter the lobby.
He's in here. We'll find
him. He's not. He's gone mobile.
Beck lifts his radio.
This is Commander Beck. I am now back in charge of this operation.
What the hell are you doing?
If he's out of the building, he's no longer in your jurisdiction. Dispatch. Suspect may have left the scene, possibly on foot. Alert all units.
Copy that, alerting all units.
The policemen walk past Moran. An FBI agent stops Sabian. Sabian watches as they lead their dog around his car.
Sorry, Lieutenant. Can we check the trunk?
Sabian gets out and walks to the back of the car. As he unlocks the trunk, the agent puts his hand on his gun and stands like he's ready to draw. Sabian lifts the lid, but there's nothing unusual inside. There's smoke and a lot of commotion in front of the building. The agent and Sabian stare at each other. Sabian gets back in his car and drives to another location. walking down a sidewalk, still wearing the SWAT uniform he used as a disguise to escape. Danny throws his police vest and gas mask in a trash can and gets into Sabian's car. Beck is interviewing Rudy.
I don't know what the hell was going on. A lot of stuff happened up there.
All right, now you must have some idea.
You know something I would really like to help out, but my lips are sealed. Frankly, I don't trust any of you freaking guys. I'm very disappointed in all of you.
Maggie, look, you gotta help us out here. I know what you're feeling. I know that you sympathize with Danny, but we need to stop him before he does something dangerous again. You don't want anyone else hurt, do you? All right, Maggie, you know something. You don't tell us, that's obstruction of justice. You want to go to jail?
Rudy stares at Maggie.
He went to Nibob's house.
Rudy covers his eyes, and Hellman walks away.
Why did he go there? Maggie? Why did he go there?
Hellman, Allen, and Argenzo get into a black SUV and speed away. Danny is looking at Niebaum's home computer.
There's nothing here.
Sabian, gun in hand, keeps watch through a window.
Chris, who did Nate go and see the night before he was killed? Did Linda tell you?
Yeah, he went to see you, but you weren't there at the precinct. You're running out of time, Danny.
Back.
Go ahead.
I need an air unit deployed to the 1300 block of Addison. I have available HPT units. Meet me at the corner of Addison and Iroquois. I also need an HPT supervisor to finish clearing the building.
Copy, relay.
Beck climbs into a black SUV and it speeds away. Danny and Sabian are looking at Niebaum's computer.
Come on, Danny, there's nothing here. It's over. That's it. I'm taking you in, man. You had your chance.
Danny looks out and sees Hellman and the others.
Look, look, don't screw me now. You said you were going to give me time, right? Now, look, I know these are the bastards that killed Nate. Now, all I need is 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes and your radio, all right? I can make this work. Come on, come on!
Sabian gives him the radio. As Hellman's gang approaches Niebaum's house, Sabian goes down a hall with his gun drawn. Hellman, Allen, and Argento enter through the front door with their guns cocked.
Hold it right there, Hellman! You come down this hallway, I'll shoot you one by one!
Danny! Danny Roman! Come on, it's all over! Huh? You'll do a little time! Karen will be taken care of. Okay? Nobody gets hurt.
Sabian and Danny are crouching across the hall from each other.
All right? Come on. Surrender.
Surrender my ass. I've got 2 discs here with your voices on them. Nate's taps. Come on down the hall. I got 15 shots here. That's 5 apiece.
Sabian breaks a mirror and Hellman ducks behind a wall. Sabian uses a piece of the mirror to see around the corner.
Whatever you're trying to pull, Roman, it's not gonna work. So why don't you stop this if somebody gets killed?
Look, I know somebody else was in charge. You guys couldn't pull this off by yourself.
Danny, man, you got this all wrong.
No, I got it right. Is that why you sound so nervous, Argento? You killed Niebaum and Nate?
Danny, that's absurd.
Come on. You know your guys out there are gonna leave you hanging for murder one while they plea down. Make a deal for yourself while you still can, Argento.
Danny, I swear to you, we don't know what you're talking about.
All right, play dumb. How could you dumb cops let somebody get you on tape?
Hellman looks at Argento.
Hey, come on, listen to you. Why don't you stop this hearing? Come on out.
All right. Keep talking, Einstein. You've already done everything wrong. You left me alive. Me against you, and I won.
Hey, let me tell you something. I don't care what kind of evidence you got. You know why? Because you're not going to make it out of here alive.
Danny holds up the radio and the front door opens.
Stand down.
Danny wrinkles his forehead.
Put your weapons down. Move your asses out of here now.
Frost?
Yeah. Danny, it's me, Frost.
Hellman whispers to Frost and gives him his gun.
Yeah, Danny, I'm ordering them off. I'm locking them out now. It's just you and me, buddy. You hear that, Danny? They're gone. Listen, Danny, I know you're scared. I know you don't trust anyone.
A lot of things went down.
I don't even understand some of it myself. Come on out, Danny. You have my support. Any evidence you have, let's just bring it out there.
Hey, Frost.
Sabian pulls Danny into the hallway and holds a gun to his head.
What the hell are you doing here, Sabian?
Finishing what you started.
What are you talking about? Roman is going out with me. No one else. Alone. We can't trust anyone else.
Sabian snatches some computer disk from Danny.
Yeah, that's right. We don't know who to trust, do we? Do you like westerns, Frost?
What in the world is that supposed to mean, huh?
I like westerns. I can't get enough of them. Watch them all the time. My favorites have always been the ones where the hero dies at the end. You remember Shane, Danny?
What?
I think you're right. Shane died at the end.
Danny looks puzzled, and Sabian shoots him in the side.
So, you killed Nathan, I killed Danny. And now my hands are just as dirty as yours, only I still have the evidence, so I'd say I'm in a very good position to negotiate. So you want a deal? You deal with me. And, there's a time limit on these negotiations because we're about to be interrupted, so let's do this quickly. I want in 60% of everything you've taken.
Well, I can't give you what I don't have. You see, I spent a lot of my take. Also, I don't know how much Alan Hellman and Argento have left. We used a lot of it to set Roman up.
All right. 50% of what you don't have.
30%.
45. You should have been a negotiator.
Frost grins.
Right. I want all the evidence destroyed.
Deal.
He hands Frost the discs.
This is everything, huh?
Sabian cocks his head.
What do you think?
Frost bends the discs with one hand, shoots the computer, and walks out the front door. The house is surrounded with SWAT teams, uniformed officers, squad cars, and an ambulance.
Danny Roman's been shot.
Palermo and Beck get out of a car.
He's dead.
Let's get you some help. Oh. Come on. Here we go. That's it. Come on. There you go.
The chief and Beck stare at Frost as they hear Sabian and Danny over the radio. Frost watches as officers strip Hellman and Argento of their SWAT gear. Farley and Eagle stare at Frost.
We got an officer down in here.
Sabian helps Danny out of the house. Frost turns to look at Danny, who's still holding the radio used to trap Frost, and Danny glares at him.
You have the right to remain silent. If you give up the right to remain silent, anything you say can and will...
Frost points his gun at his own throat, but Beck shoots him before he can shoot himself. Frost falls to the ground. Danny hobbles forward. The other officers approach Frost, who's lying on a sidewalk. Beck kicks Frost's gun away and handcuffs him.
You're not gonna get off that easy.
Beck sees Danny reach down and pick up Frost's gun. Danny stands and slowly walks toward Frost. As Karen and Tonray arrive, with a bloody hand, Danny aims the gun at Frost's head. The chief raises his hand to other officers, telling them to wait. The other officers are ready to fire. Karen, Farley, and Sabian are watching. Danny looks up and locks eyes with the chief. Forward and lets the gun slip from his hand to the chief's as Frost looks up at them from the ground. Danny doubles over with pain.
Get some help here! We got Ninja Cop here!
Beck and Sabian hand Danny off to the paramedics, and Carrot runs forward. Medical personnel help Frost stand up. Beck watches Danny go and then looks away. Farley, Eagle, and Palermo watch Danny go by. And Karen helps Danny lie down on a gurney next to the ambulance. She kisses him twice on the mouth, then moves around behind him and kisses him on the forehead. Sabian looks down at Danny.
Sorry about that.
Nice bluff, Chris.
Well, it worked.
Danny grimaces.
Anyway, I figured you'd rather be shot by me than by him. Here's the one demand I didn't meet yet.
He puts something in Danny's hand.
Nice talking to you, Lieutenant.
Thanks.
Let's get him out of here.
Eagle, make sure this location is secured. I want this street cleared right now. We got an ambulance coming through here. Move it!
As the ambulance pulls away, Karen leans over and kisses Danny. Next to his bloody hand and two-way radio is his shiny gold lieutenant's badge.